I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is brought to you this week by drbillbailey.net, Netcast. Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time for another Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, Netcast. And this week we have fangs to talk about. You thought I was going to say stuff, because I always say stuff, but this week I said fangs. Yes. Gotta keep it, you know, kind of mix it up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Indeed. You might have noticed my shirt is all fluffy and lots of room in it. That's because I'm losing weight. Something I've needed to do for a long time. I've done it before and I'm doing it again. This time for sure. Yes. Well, anyway, actually have lost quite a bit of weight. You may not be able to tell yet, but it's getting there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the neck, lots of room, you know. It's quite exciting, actually. Anyway, I'll keep you apprised as to my progress as I go along. But anyway, I made rattly noises with my brush there that I use to brush my hair before the program starts, because what am I going to do with it otherwise? Anyway, let's look at the blog, shall we? Of course, the blog I'm speaking of is the Dr. Bill blog, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. And immediately his tongue jumps in the front of his mouth and tries to throttle him. No! Last Netcast was Netcast number 294. That makes this one 295. Ah, not going to get anything past me. Anyway, so I say that to say that we're getting close to Netcast 300. Dude! So I'll be talking more about that near the end of the program. Indeed. So let's look at the blog. The blog is talking about... Actually, the blog doesn't talk. You have to read it. Hasn't started talking itself yet. Give me time. Microsoft will have Windows stores in Best Buys. To which I say big whoop. I don't go in Best Buys that often. Occasionally I will. But apparently, Microsoft has made a deal with Best Buy to take over a large amount of acreage in their stores to sell Microsoft products like the Surface tablet and Microsoft Mises, otherwise known as Mises. This is not a Microsoft mouse. This is a Logitech mouse, and it has a wire. You could tell that. Anyway, Microsoft things, they're going to sell them as Windows stores. Basically, it's like, you know, the Apple Store concept, except they're going to have, and you know, Apple is going to have Apple stores within Targets. So there you go. So now Microsoft's going to have Microsoft stores in Best Buys. Okay, it seems to me that in both cases, what it is a sign of, not the end of the world or the apocalypse or anything like that. No, don't get me wrong. But it is a sign of the fact that the post-PC era is well upon us. People just aren't buying as many PCs as they used to. So, what are you going to do? You start stores in places where you're likely to find humans and sell them things. Next item! Your genes are your own. You say, Dr. Bill, of course they are. They're my genes. I wear them constantly, and they're all grungy, and who would want them anyway? Not those genes. Not J-E-A-N-S, but genes, as in G-E-N-E-S. The tiny little building blocks of who you really are, personally, as your body anyway. The real you is, of course, your essence, your spirit, which is within your body. But I'm getting cosmic. Let's not go cosmic. Let's talk about your genes. Not the ones that are laying in front of the closet all wadded up that your wife wants you to take to the laundry room. No. Okay, we've got that established. The whole issue is that the Supreme Court, always makes me think of cookies. I think because there's a cookie called the Supremes. There's also a rock group. We're not a rock group. It was actually a Motown group called the Supremes. Diana Ross and the Supremes. Boy, I'm dating myself now. Anyway. But there's some cookies. Supreme cream cookies, I think they were. They were quite good. I like the white cream in the middle. Of course, I like the white cream in the middle of Oreos as well. Anyway. The point is, the Supreme Court, those folks up there that make all those decisions that affect us every day, they decided that you can't patent a gene, like the little tiny building blocks of humans. You can't patent those. So if you discover a gene that causes you to grow a green nose, tough. You can't patent it. Don't know why you'd want that, but anyway, the point is that there are various medical things you can do with genes that they wanted to, you know, these big companies that all this research want to patent to be able to make bukus owe money selling their gene therapies and things like that. And the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. Genes are your own. So I thought that was worthy of discussing. And now, a public service from Dr. Bill. Actually, a little bit of a rant. You know, I'm the computer curmudgeon. That means I get to rant occasionally and go, rah, rah, get off my lawn. You know, that kind of thing. So, this week I heard many reviews for the new Superman movie, The Man of Steel. Yes. And the reviewers were all going, they didn't like it. Why, you ask? Because, are you ready for this? They thought Superman should be silly and funny. And Clark Kent should be a buffoon. Well, that's stupid. This is just in my humble opinion. You know, the old M-H-O, I-M-H-O in my humble opinion. Yes. In my humble opinion, these critics are full of baloney. Perhaps they've had too many lunches. But the point is that Clark Kent is not supposed to be a buffoon. I say this in my little article here. Which, by the way, this is one of the first of many new methodologies on the DrBill.TV site. See, here's the thing. I'm going to digress here. Are you ready for a digression? Well, whether you are or aren't, I'm going to have one. It's my show. So here's the thing. I've had people complain, including a friend of mine that reads the blog and stuff fairly regularly. He was complaining, are you shameless? And I went, what? He said, you constantly just quote whole articles from other blogs and new and sites and news and things. What's up with that? You're a plagiarist. And I went, I'm not a plagiarist either. Actually, I was pretty upset. Because that's not the whole... See, I'd be a plagiarist if I took the text from somebody's site, pasted it into my website, and said that I wrote it. Okay, that would be plagiarizing. Go look it up. But if I quote someone and put quotes, and I quote an article and I give a link to that article, and maybe even put a byline from the, whatever website, dude, I am aggregating. That's a big word. You ready? Aggregating interesting things that I read during the week that I think my readers would be interested in. Okay? So that's called news aggregation. There's even what's called news aggregation sites. They don't even comment on it. I at least usually put a one or two line comment about what it is that I have quoted. But at any rate, I combined the two to save time. And then I explained, didn't waste it a bunch of time. Anyway, the point is that I'm now doing more actual standalone articles that I have written with my own little hand. Well, actually typing. Well, actually not even that. I dictate it into Dragon and let the computer type it. So I did that. A lot of explanation to get there. I did that for this review. Okay? So, given that it's all my words, I'm going to just read it to you. So, I plan to see Superman, or technically, the Man of Steel, later today. So, consider this a pre-review of the movie. Now, you might ask, Dr. Bill, why would you review a movie before you see it? Sounds like me, does it? Yes. The answer is, of course, because I'm ticked off at all the critics that are reviewing this movie. Why, you asked? Because most critics are idiots. And here's why I think so. I don't pull any punches. A lot of reviews that I've read are saying that the new Superman movie isn't as good as the past movies because it doesn't have Clark Kent being an idiot. Or as I've heard some say, a likable buffoon. First of all, Clark Kent was never a likable buffoon. He was portrayed that way in past movies and TV shows when in fact he wasn't. In fact, one of the best portrayals I've seen of Clark Kent was in the TV series Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. There, Clark was an ordinary guy, except that he was smart, he was resourceful, he was caring, and you found yourself believing that he and Lois could have a reasonable relationship. I mean, if he was such an idiot and a buffoon, why would Lois Lane be interested in him? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, now, obviously, this is before the series jumped the shark in later series run, when Lois started eating frogs. It did get pretty bad there for a while. I almost quit watching, but they got over it finally. But I digress. The point is that Clark was portrayed as a reporter for the Daily Planet that had ability in and of himself, but was actually humble about it. Now, obviously, if you ever saw Superman standing beside of Clark Kent, you could easily tell they were the same person. But we have to make a bit of a leap to believe that Clark Kent could be a secret identity, emphasis on secret, for Superman. That said, as I understand it, the new movie in theaters now, which, as I said, I plan to see later today, I have heard is very serious in its approach to the story of Superman. Critics that want to see a silly, campy, over-the-top Superman are disappointed, to which I say, awesome! I don't want to see a silly, campy Superman. I want to see a Superman that is an alien from the planet Krypton trying to come to terms with his super abilities here on Earth. Which, as I understand it, is what this movie is about. So, fully on you, critics! You're obviously crazy! Now go watch an old 1960s Batman episode and leave us all alone! So there you go, my pre-review of The Man of Steel. Do you want to hear more of my opinions? I'll give you another one. I wrote this shortly after I wrote that. Pandora's Cool Hack of the System. Next item here. little frog there in the throat. This week in the news, it was announced that the internet radio service Pandora had purchased a terrestrial radio station, you know, a regular plain old radio station. Now, some of you may know that I've been in radio for a lot of years, as my gray hair might attest. In fact, I started on radio in 1976. And I enjoy keeping up with the radio industry and the ins and outs of the introduction of new technologies on radio. One of the things that radio stations have to deal with is the licensing of the music that they play. This license is a business expense, but it's not unreasonable. However, the structuring of this license is outrageous for online or internet-based radio stations. I work with an internet-based radio station, and I know about these things. So Pandora has to pay an extravagant fee for the music that they air, regular terrestrial radio stations. Is this fair? No, I don't think so. Which is why this week Pandora bought a terrestrial radio station. How cool is that? Clear Channel Communications owns a lot of terrestrial radio stations, and they only have to pay the regular BMI license fees, even though they also do internet broadcasting. They have a service called iHeartRadio, and they don't have to pay exorbitant fees on that because they own terrestrial radio stations. So Pandora said, cool, we'll own one too. Pandora bought a terrestrial radio station in order to pay terrestrial radio licensing fees for the music. How cool is that? Now, will they get away with it? I'm not sure. But while some are complaining, I say that they're working within the system and at the same time alleviating an injustice to internet radio stations, or at least making a statement about it. Because other internet radio stations will continue to have to pay the exorbitant fees they're being charged for another reason, that they are stations that air music on the internet. So if it works, I say more power to them. If it doesn't, then I say, good try, Pandora. Either way, this inequity of fees needs to be addressed. Just my 2 cents. So yet another personal handwritten, or at least mouthwritten, using Dragon, opinion piece. What do you think of these? Are they worthwhile? Let me know. Okay. My take on the new Mac Pro. I'm on a roll here with personal opinion pieces. My thoughts on the new Mac Pro. This week, we had the WWDC, an Apple event in which they introduced a lot of new Apple-y things, like a new version of iOS and the new MacBook Air, which, boy, the MacBook Air, doesn't it look so cool? I want one. Anyway, but perhaps the most controversial introduction was the new Mac Pro. It is small, very small, and not very expandable in the normal sense of the word. In fact, it looks like a black, rounded-off, 9-inch tall trash can. Not exactly what the Apple fanboys wanted to see. In fact, many have said that this new Mac Pro doesn't lend itself to being professional at all. If you want to add in additional hard drives, you have to do it with the new Thunderbolt 2 ports externally. You can't add internally because there's just no room in a 9-inch tall trash can to add stuff internally. Hello, Apple. What were you thinking here? Oh, okay, it looks cool. I like that. And I like the way the memory clicks in on the sides once you lift up the outer shell of the trash can. Oh, and it has a cool handle that you can carry it with, but the old Mac Pro was large, heavy, and very, very expandable internally. Pretty much what you'd expect to find in a professional workstation. Some have even said that the new Mac Pro was really designed for the prosumer market and not for the professional market. We'll see how it sells, but I wouldn't hold my breath, other than the fact that it does look really cool. Okay, another little opinion piece there. Now, a word from our sponsor, which is me. DrBillBailey.net specifically. Once again, we are reminding you of our DrBillBailey.net Roku channel. If you have a Roku device, you can tune into our Roku channel by going to the channel store and looking through the Internet TV section. That's Internet TV section. And there you will find the DrBillBailey.net Netcast channel. You can also go onto the Roku website, search the channel store for DrBill.TV, and there you will find the DrBillBailey.net Netcast channel. So do that. And when you sign up, be sure to click on the 5 stars and give us 5 stars. That will help us rise in the world of Roku-iness. Pretty cool stuff. Now, on to our next item, which is... Wait. Oh, yes. The next item. I got ahead of myself slightly there. I was going, what? That can't be the next item. No. Calm down. Yes. Our next item is that our 300th episode is coming. And for that, we're having a special contest. Yes. As we usually do when we have these monumental episodes. On our 200th episode, we gave away a Roku box. And since we've already done that once, I said, well, that's been done. Let's give away something else. So this time, we're giving away a boxy box. You say, but Dr. Bill, they're both streaming internet TV fangs. Well, yes. What can I say? But this is a boxy TV, brand spanking new, in the shrink wrap, in the original box, not touched by man. Or by me. At any rate, so we're giving it away for free, dude. And I'll even mail it to you for free. You don't even have to pay shipping and handling. I'll handle it myself. Yes, without opening it. So, here's what you do. You send me an email. Okay, and not just any old email. You got to send an email. Now, in order to qualify here, these are the rules. You have to send an email with the subject line, Dr. Bill Contest. Let me make sure that's right. Yes. Dr.BillContest, C-O-N-T-E-S-T, Contest. So Dr. Bill Contest, that's your subject line. You make that the subject line of your email. This is kind of an intelligence test for you to win this contest. You know what I'm saying? So you got to put it in the subject line. You send me the email to Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at DrBillBailey.net, DrBillBailey.net. Yes, I had to make sure I got all the letters in the right order. It's on the screen. Why do I do this to myself? Anyway, so send it to that address, okay? And you'll be entered for the contest. And on the 300th episode of the Dr. Bill Bailey, or the Dr. Bill TV, you try being me for a weekend, okay? It's very strange. DrBill.TV, the computer curmudgeon, Netcast, then we will tell you who the winner is from our drawing. We'll have a drawing. Okay, so there you go. Whoa! Fred says, I've had enough of this. You're going nutty. I'm going to have a Geek Software of the Week. Way to go, Fred. Okay, Geek Software of the Week this week, wow, is the Lupo Pin Suite. You're going, oh, what? What? Yes, the Lupo Pin Suite. It is a suite of portable software, that is, software that can be launched from a USB stick. You download one file, and within that file, you put it on your USB stick, and then you have such wondrous things as 7-Zip, Audacity, CCleaner, Emule, FileZilla, Firefox, GIMP, Instant Bird, InfraView, Notepad++, Opera, Sumatra PDF, Thunderbird, uTorrent, VLC, and many, many more. all on your USB stick so that you can run it no matter where you go, where you are, whose computer you're using. Dude! All of that stuff. Now, here's what they say about themselves. All-in-one for every need. Completely free and portable. Translated into 28 languages. No spyware, adware, or viruses. Kind of a neat feature there. Easy to use and to personalize. Over 160 programs and games. Games included. Thousands of programs and games available. Dude. So that's our Geek Software of the Week this week. The Lupo Pin Suite. Yes. Now, earlier I mentioned the Roku. And there, we've had a Geek Software of the Week before of Plex for the Roku, where you can stream your own video directly to your Roku box. Well, if you want to optimize your video for the Roku box, then you can use Handbrake. And the new version of Handbrake came out with the ability to have preloaded presets. So the folks at Rocoding, I kid you not, that's what they call themselves, Rocoding, they have released presets specifically to allow you to optimize your video for using Handbrake, 0.9.9, that version, the new version. And he says he's tested them for a few months and feel they produce better results than he has written instructions using Handbrake in past versions of Handbrake. I'll be upgrading the written instructions over the next few weeks to reflect the new presets and add instructions for PGS subs. So, Rocoding, our hats are off to them. Matter of fact, my hat is not even visible. Except maybe my tin hat. Yes. I like my tin hat. Tin foil hat, you know. Keeps the cosmic rays from zapping through my head. Okay. Anyway, thought that would be useful to you, so I wanted to share it with you, those of you that are out there doing video coding, encoding. I think it's time for us to say that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.